morning to everyone. Thanks, first of all, the organizers. Invite me to come and say a few words. The covered, see such punctuality of the Kriyas, the Ikriyas, determination to come every day to hear the Torah. Baruch Hashem, it's a thank you very much. I'm happy to come. You see, it says topical themes. I don't know what that means really, topical themes. I heard of topical cream, I don't know what topical theme is, but I want to speak a bit around something we were Isaac in the last few weeks, in the Dalit Parashis. So the Mishnah Megillah says, it's a Gemara Dach Choftes, the Megillah, Resh Chodesh Adar, the Mishnah goes through all the Seder of the four parashas we read, starting from Shkolim and Zohar and Porah, and this will be just the Shabbos read, Parashas HaChodesh. So Shkolim is quite obvious, right? Resh Chodesh Adar, they used to announce to bring the Shkolim for the Beit HaMikdash, for the Korbanos, for the whole coming year from Nissan. Zohar, Amalek, Purim, it's quite obvious. Chodesh, HaChodesh Zerochem, is where was the first mitzvah when Klal Yisrael was in Egypt. Hashem commanded them to sanctify the new moon, and then that's where he commanded all the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach. Chodesh is very applicable at the time. But what is the meaning of Purim? What is Purim Aduma have to do here in the middle of the four parashas? So Rashi brings on the Mishnah here, Rashi brings that at the time when they built the Mishkan and they started, we were going to start to bring Korbanos, most people were impure, the same Mason. Over the time they touched Mason with the Aronis of the Shvatim, Aronis of Yosef, and we know, as you know, to come into the Mishkan, to come into the Mikdash, you must be pure. So there was a need at the time to purify everyone, and especially with the upcoming Pesach, with the Korban Pesach, which is not just Kehanim, not just someone who casts off his Avera and has to bring a Korban Chatos, but every single person has a commandment to bring a Korban Pesach, and you must be pure. If you're Tomei, you can't bring a Korban Pesach. So the need for the Purah Aduma. So in the Medrash it says that on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the Mishkan was put up finally after the Shulis Me'amun was built, and on the second of Nisan was when the Purah Aduma was burnt, was prepared for the Korban Pesach. So then Rashi brings the question, if so, it comes out that the Purah Aduma was prepared after the Shulis Nisan and it's needed for the Korban Pesach. So why? So Yerushalmi, he brings the Yerushalmi, really it should be the proper way, it should be that Parshas HaChodesh should be before Parshas Purah. On the first day of Nisan the Mishkan was put up, only in the second day Nisan was put up. What is the reason Chazal preferred to put Purah first? Since it's the purity of Am Yisrael, it seems it has a special importance, a special chassidus, a precedence over Parshas HaChodesh. The Rosh, he brings another shtikla of the Yerushalmi, and this is something I want to delve into a bit. He brings up Levi Oima, is a machlokes of the Seder when you have more Shabbos, right? We don't have it always consecutively every week a Parsha, we have a Hafsik sometimes, a space in between. So the question is, where exactly you put the space? It's a machlokes. If you put the space between Purah and Chodesh, meaning that consecutively Zohar must be close to Purah, or the opposite. So Lalocha, and this is in Shushalmi, that Levi Oimer ein mafsikim in Purah Chodesh. You do not make any heftik in between in Purah and Chodesh. The simon called Parshas Halalu, interesting, brings a simon. Did we know by the four crises coming of Pesach, the four crises, then a crisis halalu between the crops of wine, four in Rotsa Lishtois, he could drink between the first one and the second one, which is the limit between Shkolim and Zohar. You can make a hefsek. Over ben Shlishi v'Revi, ei mafsikin, lo yishte. You're not allowed to drink between the third kais, l'alocha, and the fourth kais. You're not allowed to drink any other liquid, anything else. So this is a remez, a symbol also that between Purim and Chodesh, you're not allowed to be mafsik. And then he brings a Rashi, brings that it should be Purim should be before Chodesh should be before, but Tarosim should be so. So this is something I want to apply ourselves a bit. We see that Purim and Chodesh have some connection, very connected. And although Purim really should be after Chodesh, Chazal will margin Purim before Chodesh. So I just want to understand a little Jewish, a little Machshavah, to understand what is lesson that we learn from this. What can we learn? What can we take away from this? So it's an interesting medrash. The medrash is like this: in Parshas, the medrash in Chukas, and it's also a Tanchuma, a little more Mufurish. You read the Russian Tanchuma, which says it more clearly. Rebaka b'shem Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina Oima. Rebaka, in the name of Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, said, "B'shas she'olam Moshe l'Amorim," when Moshe Rabbeinu went off to Shemaim, one of his voyages there, I don't know which one exactly. Shama Kodesh al Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He heard the voice of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef is sitting ba'oisik b'parshas Parazum. What was the Moshe learning at the time when Moshe happened to knock on the door up there? He was learning Paraduma. And what was he saying? Halacha b'shem Oima. He was saying halacha in the name of the person who said it. Eliezer b'ni Oima, Eglo b'ashnoso poro b'ashtayim. It's the first Mishnah in the Sefer Paradum. Omer Moshe lefono. You would think the Boyenstein at the time has many, many other issues he wants to talk about. He wants to be oisikin. So he said, Omer Moshe b'ashnoso poro b'ashtayim. V'atachtoyni shumcha. The heavens, the earth, the universes, everything is yours. That Oimer Halacha b'shmoi shel Bosom Adam, and you go the middle yourself, go down and say something in the name of the flesh and blood. Omale Tzadik Echad Osid Lamed Boylami V'Osid Liftar V'Parshas Paraduma. This is only one Tzadik in the future. And he's the one who's going to start off, and that's the way it is. The first Mishnah in Parshas Paraduma is Reb Lezer ben Hukunis, Reb Lezer ben Oimer. But then, so Moshe Rabbeinu was so spoiled. I was excited about only Rebbeinu Lomi, he wrote in Shina Chalotze. I hope it will be for my children, for my descendants. The Moshe Rabbeinu promised me, yes, it will be from your descendants. So we find the Malbim brings this message in Parshas Chukat, in Torah, and he asks, I mean, for example, take the first Mishnah in Brachas. Nemotei Kohen Shema Ba'adus. Meshasha Kehanim, Nechnos and Lechol B'tumot. So when we read Tishma, Atzeifer Shema Yerushayna. Divrei, Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says other things. The first Mishnah Shas is also Rav Lezer. It's also Rav Lezer ben Hukunis. Why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Chazal reveal to us that there was something in Par Aduma which had a connection to Rav Lezer ben Hukunis? There was something Rav Lezer ben Hukunis had a speciality. There's a lot of Mishnah, if you look at the Par Aduma, I don't know if he's more than others, but he is, you know, he's there a lot. Every parak, a few Mishnahs. See, Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunis had a specialty in Paraduma. After the car, so far the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said a halacha in his name. What was the specialty? What was the connection with Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunis to Paraduma? I'll say this point is I heard many years ago, probably 26 years ago, from Shlomo Fischer. The brother of Chaim Chaim was the brother of Yanke Fischer, the famous dying in Yerushalayim. Shlomo Fischer is a big time in the Chum from Yerushalayim. I heard this Nikud and Rabbi, this Medrash, I'll say Bishmoy. So I have to understand what is Rabbi Lezer ben Hukunis' specialty in Torah Adum. So let's understand a bit in general what is Torah Adum exactly. And we say topically, we know Torah Adum is a preparation of this, of the heifer for the sprinkle, take the ashes and the water, and sprinkle, and it's metaya metumah snake. When a person is impure because of touching a dead body or being in the surrounding of a dead body, he's tomei, he can't come into the mikdash, he can't bring a korban, he can't eat the truma. So the version prepared of something which we can remove this tumor, which is the paraduma. But it's interesting that although the paradum is not a korban, it's not born in the Mikdash, it's born a diet, it's a cross and harization, but it's called a chatas. And I guess on those lines, Rashi brings in the Parshas Chukos, and Moshe Darshan says that there's a kapora. Paraduma is mechaper. It comes to not only to purify, I won't say physically, but something which we, the impurity, but it's to forgive. The mechaper on chetah egel. And the famous mashal of the Moshe Darshan brings, just like you have a maid where one of her children made dirty in the palace of the king, so the maid, the mother, has to come along and clean up what the child did. Same thing the Moshe Darshan says, Tova Imo, which is the poro, the tekanea says bito, and she should come and clean up the dirt that the daughter, the eagle, did. So we see from this there's a kapora. It's like a korban. It's something which brings forgiveness. It's fixing. It's not only just fixing, technically speaking, fixing the tumor of the tumor's maze, but it's much more deeper. It's bringing a tahara from the ovoin, from the chet. It's fixing the aveda, the source of it all. And there is a very strong connection, although it might seem what's one has to do with the other. It's a gemara, but it's all that say on the dalit on Rav Yosi. The kibri suras atoira ela. The lashon is that they should be relieved from the malachamot. Shneema ani amati Elohim aten. The Rebbein Shem was planning that through kabbalah satoira, as you know, it says poskes of Muslim, they came to a very high level. With that, the hammer which was caused through chet obligation was purified. And you'll matter with him, Atin. You'll be like God and shall you live forever. Or bechibaltem aseichem, but through chet ego, so then, ochein ka'odin temut. But after, when they did chet ego, again was renewed that zeta, that decree, just like on obligation in the beginning of creation, where it was a decree that people who have to die will not be able to live forever, was renewed again. There was a chance. I mean, so it came to a level where they would be able to live forever, but they lost it. So Rabbi Yossi said that the Kabbalah Satoira was, they returned to the level of other position where there was no Misa, there was no dying at all. And through Chetah Egel, they lost that level and they went back to Misa and everything that comes along. So we see a direct connection. That the chet ego, not just that paraduma happens to be it's metar the mesim, and then Rabbi Yosef Darshan says it's mechapem chet ego. There's a very very strong connection because the whole reason today there is misa, we relate it to other Mishnah, but not really to other Mishnah. It's also the klal Yisrael. When we were already klal Yisrael, we already had the chance to go back to other Mishnah Gan Eden, and we lost it to chet ego. So chet ego is the one that caused the tars, the tumas made. So the Pora Duma, which is Mitzayah, is Be'etzem directly connected where it is relieving and fixing something which was caused by Chet HaEgel. But if you would leave it with this, it's not really a Kapora. It's fixing that something that developed, that happened because of Chet HaEgel, that there was death in the world. And when a person is a Tumas Meis, he can't bring a Korban, he can't bring a Korban Pesach, he can't eat Tumah. So it's fixed through the paraduma, but in Moshe Darshan's lashon al pi Chazal, it's called a chatas. It's a kapora. I think it's much much deeper. There is a connection, and we see from the outside there is a very deep, there is a connection. But I think it's much 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 deeper how the paraduma is misaken. It fixes from the source, from the root of the chet ego. Paraduma is misaken. So I want to present is the yisoid. But the Beis Halevi explains in Chet HaEgel. As you know, Chet HaEgel, the sin of the Egel is something not really for us to understand, to get the bottom of, but nevertheless the Rishonim spoke about it. And we can get, you know, a glimpse of what the Torah wants to teach us, what we have to learn from it. So basically, as you say, which is really based on the Nefesh HaChayim, which is Barichas says in Sha'alef, he speaks about that we see by the Ovois, by Avraham and Yaakov, they did certain things which, although Chazal say they were mekayim kol ha'tirkul, they kept the whole Torah, but nevertheless we see they did certain things which were not directly in line with what the Torah the man. But for them, that was their way of serving Hashem. For example, Yaakov Avinu, he married two sisters, which is not allowed, forbidden, apitayr. But he has tikkunim in his machshava, his cheshbonis. That was the right thing to do at that time. That's what he needed to do for his serving of Hashem, and it was correct. It was proper. There was nothing wrong with it. The Ramban says when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, there was a bit of a pain on him on that. But in general, he did the right thing. And as you many other things we find that Ovid did, which were not completely in line with what the Torah said, but they were allowed before the Torah was given, any person who through his seichel and through his cheshbon, his calculations, he figured this is this given moment, this is what Hashem wants from me, he was allowed to do it. Even though he knew that in the future the Torah would say this is forbidden or this is the right thing to do, but at this point he's allowed to do it. But that was only up to in Kabbalah Sotera. If the Kabbalah Sotera, there's no cheshbon, there's no calculations, nothing whatsoever. A person cannot make and see, he knows Kabbalah, he knows the insight, and he understands that this is the right thing to do. If it's halacha, dictates different. Absolutely awesome. It's an aveira gedoyim. So let's maybe want to bring out that what Klal Yisrael wanted to do with the Eger was be'etzem they wanted to build a Mishkan. They wanted to build a Mishkan. They wanted to take gold, and just like they understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam, as he had commanded not so long afterwards, that they should build a Mishkan, there should be a place in this world, not up in heaven, but in this world, down by on this earth, where there is Gashmiz, and where in the materialistic world there should be a place where Dira B'Tachtein and Rebbeinu can come and dwell. That's what Rebbeinu wants. He doesn't want to just live in heaven and we should serve him from far. He wants to have a Shuras HaShkina, that the Shkina should dwell in this world and we should be able to have some connection, some relationship, a closer relationship. That is what they want to do with the Egon. Since the Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there and he was their intermediate to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, they didn't know what to do. They wanted to build some kind of a Mishkan, what they had in mind, what it's going to look like, but something where there could be a Shuras HaShkina on something Gashmi in this world. And it was all the Shem Shammai. Of course, the Eruvav had their intentions, but I'm saying it's like how they fell into it. So the Levi, the only problem was that it was after Kabbalah Sotera. And after Kabbalah Sotera, you can't do whatever you want. You can't make calculations and decide, this is what I want to do. You have to, the Torah, is it going, does it line with what the Torah says? If the Torah says, "Leitzavla kol kol pesel kol tmuna," and that's a mitzvah deraisa, you can't now make cheshbonis, but I'm going to make, right? And if the Rebbeinu would not command us to make kruvim, we wouldn't be allowed to do such a thing. But that's what the Rebbeinu has decided, and he said in Mefurish, explicitly, that's what we have to do. That's where we can do it, because it's kasha tiva Hashem es Moshe, then it's allowed. But if it's not kasha tiva Hashem es Moshe, it wasn't commanded by Moshe, you can't do it. So their mistake was that they were making calculations, they were making cheshbonis and thinking what is the right way to serve Hashem, how we think it should work. And that's not the way it works. If the Kabbalah says you have to do what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam exactly what Hashem commands, and that's it. So Ashri smimei derech ha'ilchim b'tzeres Hashem with smimes. What Paraduma is symbolizing, what teaches us Paraduma. We know Zois Chukas HaTorah. Zois Chukas HaTorah is a choik. Chuka Chokasti, a law I decreed. Zeyes Gazati, Ve'im Lachem Rishis LaTorah. If you want to look at one mitzvah, the question is why Zois Chukas HaTorah? Should say Zois Chukas HaTorah? And in Paraduma, there's something intrinsically in Paraduma which teaches us for the whole Torah Kula. And that is Zois Chukas HaTorah. That the whole Torah Be'etim is a choik in a way. We might understand, and we delve into the Tamim to understand, but Paraduma is one thing. Is at the end of the day, what are we doing? We have no right to think and to calculate. The cheshbon means this, means that. It's good to understand. So we should have a kishmak. We should have a feeling in how we do mitzvahs. If you don't, if you're doing all day something just like a robot, you don't understand anything. It's very difficult. So we Hashem, it allows us to delve and understand and get a meaning in what we're doing. But at the end of the day, the Torah Duma teaches us one thing. It's a choik. At the end of the day, what we really are doing, we're subordinating ourselves completely to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We're servants of Hashem. We do only what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants. And we don't turn right or left. We do everything exactly word for word what it says, even though we don't understand. That is what Torah Duma symbolizes. So So if so, if the Beis HaLevi explains to us that the source of the Chet Ego was making calculations, not doing right to the dot what the Torah says, trying to make our own path in Avodas Hashem, which goes away from what the Torah says, because we had, and it came from Hashem Shemayim, because we wanted to serve Hashem with our own, with meaning. That's not the way. You have to listen. You have to serve Hashem with tzmimus, ashes tzmimus there. So the Torah Aduma is the mitzvah which teaches us that koyach, that you must serve Hashem with understanding, but with complete service. Give yourself battle the tzayin chomet nei tzayin. You have to completely nullify all your personal desires and do exactly what Hashem wants. So the reason that the Kapura Torah Aduma is for Chet HaEgel, now we understand what Moshe Dasman is saying, is it not only is metair and it purifies that that went wrong through Chet HaEgel of Mitzvah, but it's the kapora, it's the tikkun, it fixes it. Because when we learn the lesson of Torah Aduma, when we learn through the parasha of Torah Aduma, and we gain the insight that Torah Aduma is teaching us, that we are mesakim what went wrong in Chet HaEgel. We serve Hashem with tmimus. It says Chamisha Talmidim Hoyu Rabbechem and Zaka. Point out two of them. One is Rav Lezer ben Hukunas. What is Rav Lezer ben Hukunas? Bo Yisud She'enu Ma'abed Tipo. Rav Lezer was a bor, which is a well, which is plastered, which doesn't lose a drop of the water that is deposited inside. What is that? He was a gevaldig in the Kabbal. The Gemara says in the place Rav Lezer ben Hukunas Le'oma Ma'olam Dova Shleshon Ve'Rabot. Rav Lezer ben Hukunas never took something which is not here from his rebbes, which is not here from his mentors. Why? That was the koyach of Rebbe Hunkus. Was he was a gevaldig mekabel. He was someone who received and did what he was told, and he had gevald. And that's why, if you look at a bor, which is a mikveh, is metar beishboyer. It's only metar when the water is not moving. It has to stick to its source. Here's where the water fell in. That's what it has to say. And also you need arboim sir. You need a quantity, because when you're talking about someone who has received from his Rebbe, it's the amount, it's the quantity of Torah that he has, which gives him his force. That's what his koyach. Rav Lezer was such a gewaldige Talmid because he had such a gewaldige koyach, the power of receiving from his Rebbe and not losing one drop of it. Rav Lezer ben Hukunas is the koyach of Kabbalah, of receiving, of right, not using it as so much his own understanding. He never said anything he didn't hear from his Rebbe. Why? Because he didn't. I'm sure. I'm not saying he didn't use his own intellect, but in a way, he never swerved away from what he received from his Rebbe, because he was a complete Makabal. He understood this from his Rebbe. Chaim Shlomo adds on that he did say his own, but he never said anything which he always checked and tested himself. Would my Rebbe say so also? So Chaim Shlomo adds on that insight. But in any case, he was the one who was a Makabal. So being a Makabal, he's the one who had that koyach of Torah Aduma. That was his connection to Torah Aduma more than any other loch in Shas. Because the Rebbe was the great Makabal. He is the one that personifies that limud that we learn from Torah Aduma. So we go just a bit right in the Mishnah. This one I just want to explain the connection between Parshas Achoitz. There was another Talmud, Rav Lezer ben Aroch. What was Rav Lezer ben Aroch? He was Mayon Hamid Gabra. So again, a Mayon doesn't need Abba Himsa. Right? A Mayon doesn't need Abba Himsa. It doesn't need 40 sources to purify a person. A Mayon needs the Machu. As long as he covered with water, it's enough. And also it's the Zeichelin, even if it's moving, no problem, it's kosher. What does this symbolize? It shows you that the Mayan Mitzgab, a person who has that koyach of chidush, who is a gevaldig mechadesh, he has an intellect, he can retrieve halachas just from his strong intellect and his alamdin. That is a darker Mayan. That's a different type of tire. That's a different type of limud. In Chazal, that would be called the oikah horeb. Rav Lezer ben Hukunas would be a Sinai, which is the Bekiyas, the Kabbalah, and Rav Lezer ben Hukunas would be more the Mechadesh, which is like the Oikohar with Svaris, who, that was his Koyach. And that's why each one, it says in the Mishnah that if each one was in the scale, the other one would outweigh him. Because it's two different subjects, two different, each one has his own force, his speciality. So I just want to finish off the connection to Kodesh, because the Gemara and Shabbat. Not Kufim Zayin, the Gemara says that there was a place called the Yumsis. The Yumsis, I don't know what it would be like, maybe you can call it like Switzerland, It's like a spa where a place people used to go. The enjoyment there was unbelievable. It was exceptional. It was like a Gan Eden in this world. Thomas says that Aseret HaShvatim were lost. Part of the reason they were lost is because they went to this place and they got turned off from Yiddish guys, whatever, from Ruchnis, because they were involved too much in the materialistic world in this place, Yimshus, and also the wine of Pergaisa. So Mark has a story that Ablezim and Aroch also went to the Yimshus, and he was also influenced by the place. And after he had them, he said he forgot his learning. Completely, you see, another Chazan didn't forget completely, but his memory was a bit unclear. It was a bit foggy afterwards. It wasn't, he didn't have a clear halacha. If you look in Ovid Zanossim, on Kehelis Saba and two Midrashim, the Gemara explains more in length what exactly happened. It's either after Rabbi Yosef Mizrachi's son passed away, or after Rabbi Yosef Mizrachi himself passed away. So the Talmid went back to Yavna, and Avraham ben Aroch didn't go with them. He went to his wife had to be in the Yumsis. He was having a holiday there, and he went to see her. Then when he wanted to go back to Yavna, his wife said, who needs who? Do they need you or you need them? So he said, they need me. He said, stay. He stayed, he didn't go. And that's what happened, that he lost, he was influenced, whatever Chazal tell us, he came, something happened to him, and in the Shemaim, they wanted to show him, he forgot his learning. He came back, so here we continue, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Come the Mikre, he came back, when he finally came back to Yisrael, he wanted to read in the Torah. What do you want to read? HaChodesh HaZevochem. And he lost his ears, he couldn't speak. What did he say? HaChodesh HaYelibo. HaChodesh HaYelibo. So first he's saying, what's this point? Read the Reishit Beis. Shushan Sepulah says that is the Sar or the Koyach of Shikra, of forgetting. It's a Malach, he's the one, the point for forgetting. That's the Reishit Beis, right? But in a more Toshet is said, Rabbi Lozeb and Aroch came back from the Yumzis and he thought, he figured, I can continue with my Koyach, which is a Chodesh HaZelokem, the Koyach HaChidush. I can use my Mayan and Mizgaber. Although I left the yeshiva, I left all the my chaverim, I can continue my kodesh alachem. Use my kodesh achidish, which is a gevaldik kodesh. A matonel version gives a person. From the Shemayim, he wanted to show him achidish hayelibon. A person cannot live on kodesh achidish if he doesn't have that he a relationship with other people, where he receives and listens to other people and learns with other people and receives from his rebbes and other people. If you get carried away with kodesh achidish, you lose your learning. You must have also to receive from other people. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. He wanted to come back, and he thought he can continue with his force, his power. The Chodesh Zelochem, he taught to know Achodesh Hayelibam. You don't listen to others; you forget your learning. So what I understand that is complementary, Torah and Chodesh, what comes together, is this Nekuda, the introduction. Matshem here. Of the month of Nisan, which I said instead he's going to talk about Chodesh Lachem. I don't want to elaborate on that, but the Klal Yisrael was given a gevaldik koyach of Chodesh Lachem. We are in control of the world, as we all know. That's the koyach achidish. We are mechadish, and we are a nation that constantly is renewing, rejuvenating ourselves before we come back up. We have that koyach of chidish, but the hakdama, the introduction to Chodesh Lachem, if you want to benefit from all the great things that the koyach of chidush of being able to constantly renew yourself and have this chachan avodas Hashem, if you want to benefit and really take it, enjoy it and have benefit from it, you must know that Torah comes first. The Taharos Shal Yisrael, everything that's symbolized in Torah, which is Kabbalah's oil, right, to be mekabel oil, to listen to what the Rebbein Shem says, to the big halacha, if the halacha dictates, you must listen. We don't put in our own common sense when it's not applicable, and we listen to what our Rav says and our Rabbein say. If we will be covered on ourselves the limud that comes from Parshas Torah, then we can go on to Parshas Chodesh, which is not only Parshas Chodesh, just the beginning of Nisan. We do it before Nisan comes in, and we start with Pesach and all the mitzvahs and all what the Yom Tov is going to bring us, the rejuvenation of Klal Yisrael as a new nation. If we want to benefit from that, let us first good learn what Parshas Torah says. And it teaches us, and that's why in Mafsikim Mepolo Chodesh, because it's very close connected. Because if you want Chodesh, you must have Poro before to benefit from it.